Hi.
Hi there. Looks like we're
And
gonna get it.
I think it's working now.
Hey, there we are. The
How are you?
still image of you that you have doesn't look anything like the way you look.
No, that's true. I just chose it because I thought it was a really funny picture.
Yeah, but it's not you.
No.
Okay. Well, hi.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good. And I'm recording this, and I'll be able to send you an MP3 of it.
Oh, that would be very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, basically, we just saw the video that you made for Teen Girl Fantasy.
And did you see the video of Realms of Light, the excerpts that are on the internet?
Yeah, I watched them all.
Good.
I like the one with the jellyfish particularly.
Good.
I really like jellyfish. They're my
Me
favorite
too.
animal. Yeah.
Yeah, I love jellyfish. They're like the most feminine shape, really.
Yeah,
They're
exactly. They're
so
the
feminine.
simple creatures that
Yeah,
exist, I think.
yeah.
They're basically a bacteria, but floating on. No, yeah, and so then we found your website, which is really cool.
Thank you.
Why'd you decide to make it that way?
Make my website that way?
Yeah, because it looks kind of like 1995-ish, you know, with a bright colors and
I believe in bright colors because they have an uplifting effect and a healing effect. See, their conventional ideas of color healing, where yellow is good for the intellect and red is good for your vitality, but I have a totally different scheme for color healing, which I call the smorgasbord color healing therapy idea, and that is this. If you provide a person with all of the pure colors, then whichever frequencies their energy field is lacking or needing, they automatically, instinctively absorb those frequencies. Like when you go to a smorgasbord, you don't have to eat everything, you just eat whatever you're attracted to. Likewise, if you expose a person to all the beautiful, pure colors, they absorb only the colors that their aura, their energy field, lacks and really needs. And that way, they become much more of a balanced rainbow of all the colors. So I'm a color freak. You must have noticed that in my videos.
Well, yeah, definitely. That was my
Yeah, I
next
love
question.
beautiful, pure colors. I use them all the time, and it has a very healing effect, a very uplifting effect.
Yeah, so that's the reason why you use all the
Yes.
pretty intense colors in your
Yes,
videos.
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So have you been doing that for a long time, the videos?
In my whole professional career of doing concerts, they've always been multimedia. When I started in the 1970s doing concerts, even then I was doing multimedia concerts, but then it was slide projectors. Because that's the technology that was available then. But I've always been using visuals with music because they can work together to help each other. If you can forgive me for some metaphysical New Age kind of talking now, I'll explain it this way. Excuse me if it sounds too New Age. Music is capable of inducing high frequency feelings, meaning happy, positive feelings. Okay? Thought forms, visuals, are capable of producing optimistic thoughts, uplifting thoughts. So if you have music that can produce happy, positive emotions, and visuals that can produce optimistic thoughts, if you use them together simultaneously in a synchronistic, synergistic way, the combined influence can pop a person into an expanded state of awareness. And that's the whole point of my DVDs. That's the whole point of my multimedia concerts. That's the whole reason I've been doing multimedia concerts since the 70s. First, it was slide projectors. Then it was slide projectors with other color projectors like kaleidoscope projectors. And
Oh,
now
did
it's
you have
video, which
people
has all kinds
changing
of
the slides
effects.
as well?
I'm sorry?
Did you have people changing the slides during your
Oh, I had it
concerts?
automated. I had it automated. Let me explain how that works. I had a multi-track tape recorder, and two of the tracks was the music that I was playing along to. Like instead of me playing with a band, I was playing along with recordings of my own music. Okay? I'd be doing the solo work, and all the other music would be in the background on the other tracks of the tape recorder. But it had four tracks. Two of the tracks were for music. One of the track was a continuous tone that controlled the dissolve unit, which controlled the two slide projectors. Since it was on the same tape, all the slides changed at exactly the perfect time compared to the music. So it was automated and perfectly synchronized. I just start the tape, and the slides are changed at exactly the right time for for changes in the music.
And that was still with your You called it interdimensional music?
Yeah, that's the name for my style of music, huh? It's funny because go ahead.
Yeah, how is it interdimensional?
Okay, it's funny. For people that never connect in their awareness to higher dimensions, to other dimensions, it has no meaning at all, okay?
Yeah.
But for people that do in their meditation connect to other dimensions or have memories of other dimensions, like before they were born, for those people, when they hear my music, it reminds them of those wonderful spaces in higher dimensions, because those realms are very full of paradise. They're heavenly feelings, beautiful colors, beautiful sights, everything. It's like a paradise, right? So it reminds them of that. One person said, the name of your company, Interdimensional Music, like, what a hype, Interdimensional Music. Then when you hear the music, it's, oh my God, it really is Interdimensional Music. So it boils down to this. If a person has no experience in their own mind of higher dimensions, then it's totally meaningless, no meaning whatsoever, just a hype. But for people that have experienced higher dimensions, it has a lot of meaning. As a matter of fact, it makes them homesick, because it makes them remember how wonderful things are in higher dimensions, and they miss it, they want to go back there, but it reminds them of that. And in any case, it reminds them of a more uplifting, beautiful, harmonious, basically harmonious space, so that they're more inspired to make this earth here like that. So less wars, less conflict, more harmony, more beauty.
So was this also what you experienced when you started hearing your paradise music?
Yeah, I don't know how much you read, but basically, in a nutshell, I started hearing paradise music in my mind, and I had no idea where it was coming from. I was just hearing it in my mind as if, you know, you're wearing headphones and listening to music, but I wasn't wearing headphones, and it was music that didn't exist out here. And I thought, wow, this is unusual. This is really paradise-like. I bet if I created this, I don't think everybody would like it, but I bet a lot of people would like it.
Wasn't it scary to suddenly start hearing music in your head?
Actually, it was so beautiful, it wasn't scary. It was too beautiful to be scary. If it was monster music, maybe it would have been scary. But it was so beautiful, it just blissed me out. I'd melt, and I just listened to it, just wow, you know. It would melt me, you know, wow, this is so beautiful. And then a few years later, I had a very unique experience. I was with a spiritual teacher that does automatic writing, where she sits you down. She says, okay, now this person wants to write with you, some being from higher dimension, an ascended master. So you just write whatever thoughts that come into your mind. Before you know it, you have a message from some other being. And whenever I did that, I noticed that after I started writing with a particular being, I would sense their unique personality. I wouldn't see them, but I would sense their unique personality, the vibe of their personality. And one day she said, you will now write with a being named Vista. I'd never heard of Vista, no problem. I started writing. The instant I sensed this being's personality, blam! Lights went off in my consciousness. I remembered him. I remembered him from before I was born. And it instantly triggered a tremendous waterfall of love for me to him, because I loved him in the way that a younger brother would love an older brother. It was that kind of love. And here's the important part. I remembered that he and I had made an agreement to work together. And we made this agreement before I was born. And the agreement was, I'm going to go to Earth, I'm going to incarnate on Earth as a baby, and when I grow up, he's going to transmit musical ideas and also visual ideas to me. And then my part is to receive these ideas and manifest it, to create music and create visuals to go with the music and get it out there to the public. And what's the point of all these music and visuals? It's not just for fame and fortune and money. The whole point of it was to create music and visuals that facilitates helping people go through the transition our planet is going through right now, because you probably notice our planet is going through tremendous changes right now. And what's really happening is a lot of the old patterns in the culture are falling apart and new patterns are coming in. And that's because our planet is raising in frequency. It's going up in frequency. And some people have trouble going up in frequency, so they're going to end up dying. Other people are going up in frequencies. They're the ones that are going to be sticking around for this transformed planet, and it'll be much more heavenly space. So the point of this music is to help people raise their vibrations so they can stay with the planet as the planet is raising its vibrations. That's the whole point of this music and visuals.
All right.
And when I say raise the vibrations, that's not any complicated, sophisticated thing. Like if you're kind of glum and suddenly you get happy, that's raising your vibrations. If you're feeling okay and suddenly you get inspired, that's raising your vibrations. If you're feeling okay and suddenly...
So basically just saying you're feeling...
Yeah, it's an upshift in your feelings. An upshift in your awareness also, not just feelings. Mind and heart, it's both.
Okay, yeah, because I studied physics, and they used frequency and vibration in a very different sense than you're using it now. So
No. Actually, it's in the same sense, but in a different frequency realm. Because emotional frequencies are in a much higher frequency realm than anything that modern physicists have equipment to measure. They can't measure it because it's a much higher frequency realm. Thoughts are an even higher frequency than that. So it is in the same sense of physics, but the frequency range, we don't have any equipment that can measure such high frequencies. It's way beyond what our equipment can measure right now. But let me give you an idea. When modern science could not measure subtle electricity in a person's body, yeah, modern medicine thought that acupressure was just superstition. My father was a doctor. He'd been programmed by the medical establishment. Chinese acupressure, it's just superstition. There's nothing to it at all, right? And there's no way to prove it scientifically. Then, many years later, we got scientific equipment that was sensitive enough that it could notice electrical conductivity in different parts of the body, and it noticed that where there was increased electrical conductivity was exactly where the acupressure people said that there would be. So then, science eventually got sensitive enough to confirm that acupressure was for real. So I'd visit my father later, and he'd say, could you please press here this acupressure point? Ah, thanks, it relieves my shoulder. You know, stuff like that.
A lot of conflict between you and your father having these totally different beliefs,
basically. Yeah. He says, where do you get all these crazy ideas? But the point is that just because science cannot measure something doesn't mean it's not true. Eventually, science will get sensitive enough to go to that frequency range where it can measure it and confirm it. Right now, our scientific physics equipment cannot measure emotional frequencies. It can't go that high. All it can measure is galvanic skin response and heartbeat, but that's nothing compared to emotional frequencies, which are way higher.
So where did you get the crazy ideas?
Which crazy ideas?
No, you said, I was just quoting you, basically.
From everywhere.
Where did you get all these ideas?
All over, everywhere. I mean, I do a lot of studying, I do a lot of reading, and I get a lot of ideas internally as well, from all over the place.
Because at some point you moved from Greece to the U.S. Was that...
No, let me explain. When I was 4 years old, my entire family moved from Greece to America. So I was just a little boy then.
Okay, so it wasn't your spiritual ambitions that moved you from Greece to L.A.?
It was in L.A. When I graduated from Cornell University, I decided to make music my career. And then my spiritual motivation moved me from the East Coast to the San Francisco area.
Okay, because I just have to say this, I really enjoyed your music.
Thank you.
It's very special. It's something very different than anything I've ever heard.
That's why it's called interdimensional music.
Yeah. Did you have, did you use anything else to create this music? I mean, there's lots of people in the New Age movement that use drugs, basically, to bring them to higher real, you know, higher consciousness, basically.
Mm-hmm. I use all kinds of stuff. For example, meditating. If I told you my favorite drug for creating music, you wouldn't believe me, you would laugh. You know what my favorite drug is? Coffee.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes it. You don't have to believe it. It's all right.
Well, no, I believe you. If you say so.
I can get psychedelically high just from coffee.
Yeah?
Yeah. Different things do different things.
Is it a special kind of coffee? Is it a special kind of coffee or just... Starbucks?
No, I don't like Starbucks. I like strong coffee. What I use is Uban instant freeze-dried coffee. People that like coffee, they're poor, by the way, I do coffee because I don't even heat it. I put water in a glass, room temperature water in a glass. I put in a big teaspoon of coffee and mix it, and I drink it at room temperature. I don't even heat it. And people say, how can you do that? It's not hot. Well, I'm not drinking it because I like the taste.
Just sit down.
What? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I kind of missed the last part. But then you sit down and you start making music once you've drunk your coffee.
Yeah, I get very inspired. As a matter of fact, for many years when I was doing composing, let me tell you how I would compose. I had a piano. It was an upright piano. And I'd take the boards off so I could really hear the sound very strongly. So when I played the keyboard, I could see the hammers hitting the strings right in front of me. And I put a wire in front of them, and I had clips hanging on the wire so I could put a piece of paper on it, just hang it so I could be able to see it. So I had a whole bunch of nature pictures, which I found beautiful. Most of them were Polynesian tropical pictures, nature pictures. And then here's what I'd do. I'd get high on coffee. Then it was Turkish coffee. I get high in Turkish coffee,
with
drink.
Nothing else. Nothing else in coffee.
Yeah, in those days, yeah. Just really strong Turkish coffee. I get really, really wired on it. Then I'd look through all the nature pictures that I accumulated until I find one that excites me. When I found one that really excites me, I take it and I clip it in front of the piano. Then I would just sit in front of the piano and just stare at that picture. And I would just stare at the picture. And after a few minutes of staring at the picture, my consciousness would be there. It wouldn't be in the room where my body was and the piano was. It would be there. And it reached the point where I'd be there more real. That was more real than being where my body was, where the piano was. And after being there for a few minutes, I would start feeling the feeling of being there. And when I really got into the feeling of being there, when I really got in touch with the feeling, then I'd come back here to put that feeling into music on the piano. So I'd be in two places at once. I'd be in the place where the picture was to get the feeling of being there. And then I'd be back where the piano was to translate that feeling into music. And then I'd work it on the piano, the feeling of it, and I'd write down the music that I create. So I'd be in two places at once. Even though I was in two places at once, the place where the picture was and the place where the piano was, the picture place then seemed more real than where the piano was. And that's how I composed for many years.
Is this also the reason that you're making visuals with palm trees and calm seas and mountains?
Is okay, well, there are two ways. No. In that case,
imagination of where you are at that moment?
Many different ways. Now, in that example, the visuals created the music. But when I did my DVD, I had the music first, then I went from music to visuals. The music existed first, then I created visuals. Both ways work, you know, both ways are valid ways of doing it. So in the old days when I used to compose, I used to stare at beautiful pictures and translate that into music. When I did my DVD recently, I already had the music, and I let the music inspire me to create visuals to go with the music. Both ways work. But again, music is a...
Could you maybe send over some of those pictures? I'd love to see them.
All you need to do is go to a travel agency and look up Polynesia, and you'll see beautiful pictures. It was just like that, nothing special, just beautiful pictures of the tropics, like Tahiti, Bora Bora, Hawaii, Fiji, Samoa, just beautiful pictures of the islands. That's all.
So that's your paradise, basically.
Well, then, that's what it was. Now my paradise is much more in higher dimensions. It's not here.
So how do you can't... You don't have pictures of that, I imagine.
No, but on my gallery, I have a visionary artist gallery on my website.
Yeah, I checked it.
Right, and some of those artists really have their renditions of higher dimensions. Mm-hmm. You can go there. You can see Gilbert Williams is one. Ariel Ali is another. And if you go there and look at their images, you get glimpses of higher dimensions perceived through their consciousness. So you get to see through the window of their consciousness. You get to see how they see higher dimensions, which is a wonderful service to life.
Okay. And, well, back to teen girl fantasy. Did they contact you, or did you contact them? How did that go?
They were aware of my DVD, Realms of Light, and they're very impressed by what I did with visuals. So they contacted me. I'd never heard of them. I wasn't aware of them at all. They contacted me and asked me if I'd like to create a music video to one of their pieces of music. I said, maybe, let me hear the music. And they sent me two or three pieces. One of them I really resonated with. I say, I wouldn't mind creating visuals for this piece. And so then we worked out a financial arrangement where they paid me and I created visuals, and they loved it, and I loved doing it. It was interesting for me because when I studied visual effects, some of the effects I'd learned were effects where the sound makes changes in the visuals. For example, if there's a heavy beat, boom, 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 the special effects are created so whenever there's a boom, the visuals can get brighter, or they can get more colorful, or they can move up, or they can become transparent so you see another image behind it, or you can change it many different ways. So the Teen Girl Fantasy was my first opportunity to actually use these special effects where the visuals respond to the music. And I was very happy with the results, and they were very happy with the results.
And so am I. It's a great video you made.
Thank you.
It's really good. And
because in my own project, it's not really rhythmic music.
No.
You saw Realms of Light. It's not rhythmic. Yeah.
And did you teach yourself how to make these things? Because they're pretty complex. But
here's how it happened. When I finished my music CD called Realms of Light, many people told me that this music triggers visuals in their mind. And I also noticed that music triggers a lot of visuals. So I had the thought, I should create a DVD of this music CD because the music is very visual triggering. It deserves to be a DVD. So I decided I'm going to create a DVD of Realms of Light. So it's not just a music CD, it's also a DVD. I'm going to create celestial visuals to go with the music. So I did the first obvious thing. I looked around at other people that were creating visuals to see who I wanted to work with. But none of them, nobody was doing the kind of visuals I wanted to see, because I had in my mind, thanks to this being Vista that I work with, I had my own idea of the kind of visuals I wanted to see. But nobody was doing the kind of visuals I wanted to see with my music. So I decided, no problem, I'll just learn video effects and do it myself. Well, it took me 4 years to really learn to master video special effects. And then once I'd learned it, then it took me 3.5 years to create the visuals that went with Realms of Light DVD. So it took me 7.5 years to do it. 4 years to learn video effects, and then 3.5 years to create the visuals to go with music, which, as you can see, is tightly synchronized with the music. Yeah. So the visuals and music really changed exactly together.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. I mean, we were all pretty in awe about over it all.
Wonderful.
So do you still have contact with your native country? Do you still go to Greece?
Yes. I've been there many times, maybe about 8 times, 6 times, something like that.
Do you feel anything special about?
I have relatives there. I have an aunt. I have 2 aunts, each with their own family. And they're, you know, so I have cousins there and aunts. So I have relatives in Athens and in Salonika. And do I feel anything special in Greece? Yeah, 2 things. I love the islands because they're very beautiful, very playful, very fun-loving. But my favorite place in Greece is Delphi. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Delphi, Greece. Not because it's beautiful. Not because it's very impressive with all the temples. But only because of the way it feels when I'm there. Because just like a person has acupressure points on the body, likewise, there are certain places on Earth that are power places. They're interdimensional vortexes. For example, Mount Shasta, Sedona, Arizona, Fujiyama, Machu Picchu. And one of these power places on the planet is Delphi, Greece. So when I go to Delphi, Greece, I feel like I have easier access to higher dimensions. It's as if somebody removes the top of my head and I can feel the whole cosmos while I'm there. So I love being there. It's so like the home for my soul when I'm there. My dream is to do a concert in the amphitheater in Delphi, Greece.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Yeah, do the Greeks like your music? Because it sounds, it has a kind of Greek tinge to it, right?
No, not really.
Sometimes.
No, it's got a cosmic universal tinge. It doesn't have a Greece tinge at all. I have to tell you this funny story. Once I was in Greece with playing my flute by the water, and I was doing wonderful things. I was doing all these extravagant melodies. I was flying all over the place. And I was so proud of what I was doing because it was just brilliant. My flute was fluttering free. It's like a hawk flying in the sky. I was improvising all these beautiful melodies all over the place. And this little Greek boy that was listening to me play, and when I finished, he looks at me and he says, "Wow, you're terrible. You can't play anything." And then, I remembered a Greek song that was then very popular on the radio. So then I played it on my flute, something which for me was so easy I could do it in my sleep. You know, it was nothing for me. It was not even a challenge. But I played this simple melody, which I knew was popular on the Greek radio then. And as soon as I started, his eyes lit up. He says, "Wow, you're fantastic!" So their tastes are quite different than mine. You know, they have very conventional tastes. They like bouzouki music, and they like international pop music. And that's not what I do. So most of them are not into what I do at all. However, the New Age sector, which is a very tiny part of the demographics of Greece, they love what I do. And there's those people all over the planet that love what I do. It really boils down to this. Art appreciation, appreciating art, boils down to one thing. It doesn't matter if it's music or visuals or architecture or sculpture, any of these things, the same principle applies. If the person perceiving the art is on a similar consciousness as the person creating it, then they love it. They say, "Wow, this is fantastic." The person perceiving the art is in a slightly lower level of consciousness than the person creating it, they still love it. So, "Wow, it raised me. It was very inspiring. It was wonderful." If they're in a very different level of consciousness, they don't get it at all. It's just nothing. It's just strange sounds or strange visuals. And again, if they're in a very different level of consciousness, it's really crude. I don't like it at all. But if they're in a similar range of consciousness, they love it. It's fantastic. So no matter what you do in music or art, there'll be those people that love it. There are people on a similar wavelength as you, and there are other people that won't like it at all. They'll be very different or very different, but nowhere near where you're at.
And I read on your website that the NASA used your music, or on Wikipedia, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
What did they use it for?
That's a good question. They're doing some documentary, and they wanted to use my music as some of the background for the documentary.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's good music for in space.
Yeah, they thought so.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Space music. Yeah, I'm one of the original space musicians. You know that the two people that began New Age music are myself and Stephen Halpern. And the two of us began New Age music because we each released our first album in 1975. And part of what I had in that album could be considered space music, so that was the beginning of space music.
And what were your inspirations when you started out with New Age music? Did you have artists that inspired you? other musicians?
No, just the music I was hearing in my head inspired me. And there was nothing on the outside like what I was hearing in my head. So nothing on the outside inspired me. It was only the strange, unusual music I was hearing in my head. And I thought, this is great. I wish I created it, but it was unusual sounds. Not only unusual music, but also unusual sounds. It wasn't conventional instruments like a guitar or a trumpet or violin. It was unusual sounds, and synthesizers did not exist yet. So I thought, gee, how can I create this? This is not only unusual music, but unusual sounds. And then some voice inside my head said, you can do this. So I trusted that. That was Vista, this being. And then as technology kept advancing, I got closer and closer to being able to recreate on the outside the music I was hearing in my head. And now I can get really close because now software and computer is really close. Yeah, very flexible. So now I can get really close to recreating the music I'm hearing in my head.
So I imagine you like other kinds of music, though. What are you into?
Oh, I love Jimi Hendrix. I love Carlos Santana. I love certain classical music. I love Martin Denny. The classical music I like is Claude Debussy, Ravel, and Respighi.
Okay.
Once my father asked me, you don't like Beethoven? You must like Beethoven. He's a great musician. I said, well, I admit he's great, but I don't like him. How can you not like him? I said, because I don't resonate with the emotions of his music. Because his music puts out certain feelings, and I don't enjoy feeling those feelings. See, musicians are merchants, and what they're really selling, musicians are merchants selling emotions served on the platter of sound. And most musicians specialize in a particular type of emotion. For example, in heavy metal, they specialize in the emotion of anger and rage. In country music, they specialize in romantic feelings. My specialty is ecstasy. That's the specialty, the emotional ecstasy of my music. So those people that like feeling those emotions love my music. Those people that can't relate to the feeling of ecstasy don't like it at all.
And don't you like certain types of electronic music that is quite in now, which also induces a feeling of ecstasy, basically?
Yeah, there are some that I do like very much. For example, I like Kevin Kendall. I like Michael Stern. I like Constance Denby. For example, my friend Aeolia is a New Age musician, and his music to me generates the feeling, the spiritual feeling of devotion to spirituality. See, that's the specialty I get in his music. The emotional specialty I get from Constance Denby is a craving to merge back with God. For my own music, as I said, just ecstasy.
Do you believe in God? I mean, you're not Christian, are you?
Oh, not at all. I don't believe in any of the conventional religions, but I very much believe in God. But my definition of God is very different than the conventional idea of God. It's not just some being. God is a universal thinking substance. Whatever thinks ripples into form. And it's totally loving. It's infinitely unconditional loving of everything. And most alien civilizations, their term for God is all that is, meaning all that exists, because that includes everything. And yes, I very much believe in God. As a matter of fact, I've had a few experiences in my life where I had profound, brief, but very profound glimpses of God. And it was very overwhelming to me. And so I have 100% trust and knowingness that God is real and that God is totally, totally loving. You know how much a mother loves her just born baby? That kind of love? How much a mother loves her baby? Well, God loves everyone, including you, a million times more than that. And there's nothing you could do that would be so terrible that God would stop loving you. No matter what you do, God infinitely loves you. Infinitely. Once I felt that just for a few seconds, and it was so emotionally overwhelming, I started crying. I was by myself. I couldn't, it was just more than my heart could take. My heart felt like a tiny cork floating in the ocean when the ocean was having huge waves from a storm. Huge waves from a storm. And my heart felt like a tiny cork being bobbed all over the place because it was these huge waves of love, much stronger love than what my heart could contain or handle. So I just went into overwhelm. I just started crying. It was just too overwhelming. The funny thing is, when I was doing that, here's how they came about. For one of the pieces in Realms of Light, it's called the Diamond Heart Center of Creation. My intention on that was to create music that represented the feeling of being in God's heart. Uh-huh. And you might think, how presumptuous, what makes you think you can get in touch with God's heart? Well, the whole universe is holographic. And because the universe is structured holographically, each part contains the whole. And because each part contains the whole, and I'm one of the parts, I contain the whole, therefore I can get in contact with God's heart. I believe that. So, in my intention to create music that had the feeling of being in God's heart, I went into this meditation where I'd sit in front of my synthesizer ready to create music.
Uh-huh.
And I'd just sit there focusing on going to God's heart so that I could get in touch with that. And once I was in touch with that, I get in touch with the feeling of it, then I put it into music. For about a week, nothing happened. And then, but I refined my meditation. So then instead of going to God's heart, I realized, no, you can't go to God's heart, you have to be God's heart. So that, at least I was refining my meditation. So for the second week, I was just sitting there, meditating on being God's heart, not going to it, but being it. And then about 5 or 6 days later, something happened that totally caught me off guard. I was totally not expecting it. Totally caught me off guard. It's what I just described. Where suddenly there are these waves of incredible love. They're so intense, my heart couldn't handle it. It's like if a bulb, a light bulb, is used to 100 watts of power, and you suddenly get 3 million watts of power, the light bulb fries. It can't handle it, you know? So my heart couldn't handle such intense voltage of love. You can think of it in terms of voltage. And so I just started crying. And then, because I was in overwhelm, emotional overwhelm, then my logical mind said, well, Yasos, now that you're feeling it, why don't you put it into music? So then I had to come back, return to my normal awareness enough to transcribe that into music. And that became that piece called the Diamond Heart Center of Creation, which is on my DVD.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I hope it comes here soon. I'm going to watch it as soon as it gets here.
I already sent it, so you'll get it soon.
Great. And so what was your childhood like? Do you still remember special things in your childhood that happened that kind of put you in this direction?
When I was 8 years old, I started taking piano lessons.
Uh-huh.
When I was 10 years old, I started taking flute lessons. My formal training was only in grade school and high school. And then when I was in college, I learned a lot just by teaching myself. For example, I could play flute along with classical music. And I reached the point where I could figure out what the chords were in the classical music just by playing flute along with it. So I learned a lot about harmony just by playing along with classical music. I learned a lot about harmony and chords and how they work, what works, what doesn't work. And then when I came to California at a certain point, I just started hearing Paradise music in my mind spontaneously. Then it just took off from there.
All right. And let's see, what else did I have?
I like your questions, by the way.
Yeah?
Great questions.
Thanks a lot. I haven't been doing this for a very long time.
Hey, even if it's your first time, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
You don't need to be doing it a long time. You just need to have the right kind of intuition. And you do have the right kind of intuition.
Thank you. Hey, well, watching your clips makes me feel kind of lightheaded.
Good.
Is that something that you're trying to do? Are there any like kind of hidden messages in your clip, like a positive Judas Priest, something like that?
Exactly. The whole point of it is to raise people's vibration, make them feel better, and you're experiencing that influence of raising your vibration as lightheadedness. Other people might experience it different ways. For one person, it's lightheadedness. For another person, it's feeling more optimistic. For another person, it might be having their heart feel more open. Everyone responds differently, but it's how they're responding to having their frequencies raised, going up in frequencies. Eventually, science, physics will get sensitive enough equipment where they can measure what I'm talking about because your frequencies are raised. Let me give you an example. Let's say A person is really low frequency because he just broke up with his girlfriend and he's totally bummed out, okay? So if you could measure his frequency, it'd be vibrating really low. Let's say.
But how would you measure? How would you.
Right
would you
now, say? We don't have equipment to measure it. I'm just talking about this. Eventually, we will. And let's say suddenly his girlfriend calls him up. She said, I changed my mind. I want to be with you again. And suddenly he gets ecstatic. He gets elated. Well, in that case, if you could measure it with scientific equipment, his frequency would be going from very, very low, boom, suddenly to very, very high. And that's an example of raising your frequency. That's an extreme example to exaggerate what I'm talking about. Eventually, physics will have equipment sensitive enough to measure this. That might be 30, 50 years from now.
Yeah. A lot of people that I talked to that watched your videos, they said they reminded it a lot of a DMT trip. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've taken DMT.
Yeah?
Yeah, I consider that a tremendous honor that they would say that. And I've had people say that to me also.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that an honor? I've personally never done it. I'm very curious to do it sometime. But
uh-huh.
I've never come about to do it
because
yet.
It is like a very visual, bejeweled experience.
Uh-huh.
I can only speak for myself. When I did it, it was a very... The few times that I did it, more than once, but just a few times, mm-hmm. Every time it was very, extremely beautiful, very rich in visual textures that were changing very uh-huh. fast, very fast, very
and,
fast.
And is that very different to LSD, for example? Would you rather do DMT than LSD?
Well, they're not the same thing. When you take LSD... Typically, it might take 1 hour to an hour and a half to reach the peak level.
Uh-huh.
When you take DMT, there's no transition at all. 1 second, you're normal. The next instant, you're there. It's faster than the blink of an eye. There's no transition time. It's not even 1/10 of a second. Just one instant, you're normal. The next instant, you're there.
Because with mushrooms, for example, I always have this, there's a period that you feel kind of in between, and then suddenly you're in.
With DMT, there's no in between. First you're normal, then you're there. No in between at all. Not even for a millionth of a second. It's
no.
Instant. Uh-huh. You know how on TV when you change from one channel to another? Is that a gradual transformation or is it instant?
That's instant.
That's how instant this is.
Well, it sounds pretty cool. I'd like to try it sometime. But is that what you're going for? It's kind of like a DMT experience?
No, not at all. Here's the thing. People that are connected to higher dimensions, they say, we love your music, it reminds us of higher dimensions. People that are into psychedelic drugs say, we love your music, it reminds us of psychedelic experiences. People that are spiritual say, we love your music, it reminds us of God, right? So everyone relates to it according to where they're coming from. You know, those people that are into psychedelics say it reminds us of psychedelic experiences because we love it. Other people that are in meditation go to spiritual spaces say, we love your music because it takes us to the spiritual spaces. So everyone responds different. Another person might say, we love your music because it reminds me of having my heart totally open. So everyone relates according to their own personal experience.
Hmm. Hi.
Oh. That's my girlfriend, Maya. She's busy doing things.
Hi, Maya.
Here she is. Say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Oh, come here. Yeah. Let me see you.
I did.
Oh, she's shy. Okay, go ahead.
Is she your biggest fan? Well, my girlfriend's always my biggest fan when I'm
writing. She's a fan. I don't think I have my biggest fan. Are you my biggest fan? Yeah, she says the same thing. She's a fan. She doesn't know if she's my biggest fan. I don't think I have a biggest fan.
Sorry?
I don't think I have a biggest fan. I just have a lot of good fans.
There's no one that goes to every single one of your concerts.
I don't think so, no.
Because
they're all over the place. I do concerts all over the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's soon I'm going to be in Holland, but... I'm sorry?
What's the most special place you've been, or what's the most special experience you've had in another country?
Do you mean for doing concerts or just visiting?
No, doing concerts, basically. What is the strangest or the funniest thing that you've ever had experienced?
Probably in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Uh-huh.
I performed in the largest concert hall in all of South America. And it's the Anhembi Center in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Uh-huh.
It is a huge place, just huge. And the Brazilian people are extremely disorganized. extremely disorganized, but they're extremely loving and extremely open-hearted and open-minded. They're receptive to everything. They're receptive. They have such an open heart. They have such an open mind. They're so loving. They're so open to anything new and wonderful, but they're extreme. So when I was setting up there, it was the most disorganized setup I'd ever done in my whole life. When I was doing it at the concert, everything went wrong. One of my slide projector software, everything went wrong. The concert organizer, just before the concert was going to start, she was walking on stage and she tripped over some wires and broke some of the wires for the control equipment to where I press pedals and things happened with my equipment. She broke those wires so it didn't work. So everything went wrong in that concert. Nothing happened right. And yet when the concert was over, they got the spiritual intent of what I was doing with my music and visuals so strongly that I had a whole line of people that wanted to just say thank you and hug me. A hug line, they call it, you know. People that wanted to just come up and say, thank you, I love your concert so much. I had a translator so they could translate the Portuguese to English so they could thank me and hug me, and they'd give me deep, heartfelt hugs. You could tell they were really loving me and really grateful on a soul level for what they'd experienced. So even though the concert, from my point of view, was such a disaster that when I got home, I was traumatized for about 3 hours. Yeah, because I'm used to normal concerts where everything is just flawless, technically flawless, and over here, everything went wrong, and yet they got it so strongly that that hug line was so long, it lasted for 1.5 hours. People waiting 1.5 hours just to come to me to tell me, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was so moving to hug me for a long time. It was the longest hug line of my life, 1.5 hours, for people that are so moved, even though it was a technical disaster. So that was
Did
a funny story.
Tired arms afterwards?
Well? No, it was wonderful. It was very energizing. To receive love is energizing. It doesn't drain you.
Yeah. No, that's true. That must be true. And have you ever? Are you big in Asia?
I have a person that was getting ready to organize concerts for me in Japan, but now that's been put on the back burner for a while. As you might expect, because of Fukushima.
Ah, too bad.
Yeah, but when that settles down and the radioactivity isn't so bad, I'm sure I'll be doing concerts. Because he's organized many concerts in Japan in the past, and he'd love to have me there. He's sure they would love it. And so that'll happen when the radiation is no longer a problem.
Yeah, of course. Hey, and so you're coming to Holland soon as well?
Yes.
How did that come to be?
I was recently doing... 3 concerts in Europe. One was in Brussels, Belgium. The other was in Geneva, Switzerland. And the third was in Dijon, France. Mm-hmm. And when I did the concert at a music festival in Brussels, Belgium, it was actually in Aalst, close to Brussels, Aalst, Belgium. When I did that that music festival, a lady that lived in Holland flew down just to experience Yassos, you know, because she already was aware of my music. She wanted to experience me performing live. So she's very blown away, loved my concert. She talked to me afterwards. She said, you know, I came here all the way from Holland just to experience you. And so she wanted to organize me coming to her light center in Holland. So that's what we're going to do. So our plan is, on my first visit, which is coming up the end of June, June 29 will be my first workshop there, I'm going to be doing 3 workshops. And that'll get people a lot more excited about me. The next time I come, I'll be doing an actual concert there.
Okay.
But this time it'll be 3 workshops.
Oh, so you're not going to perform live?
Not this time. I'm just doing 3 workshops.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you ever been to Holland before?
No.
No?
First time. This will be the first time.
Wow. Well, I think you're going to like it then.
I'm sure that's true.
Holland is, it's beautiful.
You live there, right?
Yeah.
All I know about Holland is tulips.
Seriously?
Tulips, well, you know. Now I know a few other things.
Windmills and clogs.
Amsterdam and hashish, right?
Amsterdam and hashish.
Yeah.
Maybe we could meet up.
I hope so. I'd like that. I'd like that. You know, my last 3 days in Holland will be free days. July 2, 3, and 4. I'll be basically free. So if you want to get together with me one of those 3 days, let's do it.
Let's just keep in touch and we can set something up.
Okay.
Maybe you could come down to Amsterdam. I could show you around.
I would love it, because Thea is also going to be showing me around. But I'm sure that the Amsterdam that she shows me will be very, very different than the Amsterdam that you show me.
I'm quite sure of that.
So I would like to see both versions.
Okay, yeah, let's see what we can do then.
Good.
I'm just gonna, I'm gonna watch your DVD, I'm gonna write this all down, take my time for it, and let's just keep in touch. I mean, I'll send you something over as soon as I've written something.
Wonderful. Alejandro, I love your questions. You're a great interviewer.
Thank you. I love talking to you.
Good.
Very good.
So we can hang out and have fun in Holland.
Great. Yeah, that would be fun.
Cool.
I can show you, I can show you everything, basically.
Good. I want to see everything.
For a long time, so I I can tell you I know Amsterdam.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And, I'll email you as soon as I know anything.
Also, remember this. If you think of any more questions, we can do the Skype interview again if you have more questions later.
Cool. Thanks a lot. I'll definitely keep it in mind. But I think I basically covered everything. But if there's anything that pops up, I'll contact you.
Good.
Great. All right. You have a good day, I guess, because your day is just beginning, I think.
Yeah.
Over there. And, I forgot one thing. How old are you?
Take a guess and then I'll tell you.
45?
Yeah, people guess me between 45 and 50. I'm 64.
You're not serious.
Nobody believes it, but I'm 64. I was born in 47, January of 47.
You're joking.
I'm serious. I can show you. You want me to show you my driver's license? It says 1947.
I don't believe you. Show me your driver's license when you get here to Holland.
You want me to show you then or right now?
Show it to me then. Now I can't probably read it.
You don't want me? Okay, I'll show it to you when I get there, but...
Show it to me now.
Okay, hang on, I'll get it.
Prove it.
Okay. Okay, here's my driver's license. Where's my birth date? Okay.
Hold it up.
Do you see where my finger is? Just above my finger is the, in red, is my birth date.
Oh, yeah. I see. 47.
Yeah.
Wow.
January 9,
47. Do you think making interdimensional music keeps you young?
There are a few things I do to keep young, but that's not one of them. There are a few things that I do to stay young. That's not one of them, though.
What do you do to stay young? Secret.
No, that's not a secret, no. One of them is, there are 5 exercises that are designed to increase how fast your chakras spin. Do you know what a chakra is? The energy centers in your body?
More or less, yeah.
Okay, well, you have chakras. They're not in the physical dimension. They're in the etheric dimension, so you can't see them, but they're real anyway. You have one for here, one for here, one for there, and they spin. And when you're young, like a teenager, they spin very fast. When you get older, they spin slower. And the slower they spin, the less life force you have. There are 5 Tibetan exercises that are designed to make your chakras spin really fast. And when you do that, you get younger. When I was 40 years old, I had to admit to myself that I'm getting more sluggish every year. I don't like it. There has to be some solution. So I looked around for solutions, and this is one of the things I found. And I started doing it, and I started getting more energy. I started that when I was 40. Now that I'm 64, I have more energy than I had when I was 40.
Wow.
Because of the 5 rites exercises. They're called the 5 Tibetan rites. And it takes about 15 minutes to do these 6 exercises. Just 6 exercises. And you do them every day. And your chakra spin faster, more life force passes through you, you have more vitality.
Well, I believe you.
Yeah. There's another thing that I do also. I have a device called the Lukoski Multiwave Oscillator. It's a device that's designed to... Lukoski Multiwave Oscillator.
Okay.
It's a Tesla coil. You know physics a little bit, right? It's a Tesla coil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. hooked up to a fast timer, so it goes on and off really fast. You know, transformer. So it puts voltages really fast, which goes to an antenna, which radiates it out as sparks. And the spark is all frequencies, random frequencies. So it's continuously putting out all frequencies randomly within a large range from about 440 times a second to 14 billion times a second. And within that range, each cell gets to see its ideal frequency and ignores all the other frequencies. It just resonates with this ideal frequency, and that gets you humming more. So it energizes the nucleus of the cells, which makes you have more vitality. Yep. And then the other thing to stay young is to keep your emotions harmonious. If you're sad or have anger or fear, those really are bad for your health and vitality. If you're feeling good and happy, those are good for you. If you want to stay young, do that. And then another thing is, the more you're doing things that you're really excited about, like if you're a painter, the more you're really painting. If you've been painting for 5 hours, but it seemed like just 20 minutes, your body aged just 20 minutes. It didn't age 5 hours. So when you're really engrossed in something that you're really totally excited about and enthused about, that's good for you. You don't age much when you do that. When you're doing things that you're bored with, that's when you're aging a lot. So keep your mind active, keep your feelings harmonious, keep your mind focused on things that you're really excited and engrossed about. Those also help.
All right. Well, thanks for the advice. I'll keep it in mind. See if I can look like that when I'm 64.
Also, I color this. There's a lot more gray here naturally. I color it brown.
Yeah, me too.
And I do it for myself because it makes me feel younger.
Okay.
I like the way my body felt when I was 19 years old, so I tell my body, take on the pattern of the way you were at 19. Take on that way of behaving and feeling. And so my body says, okay, no problem. Because the body behaves according to your belief about how your body's supposed to behave.
True. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I'll email you.
Okay, Alejandro. And do you want me to email you an MP3 of this recording?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I can't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow.
Perfect. Fine. Take your time.
Okay.
There's this really useful website that I use to email larger files.
This isn't going to be that large. Don't worry. If it's large, you can download it from my website. No
All
problem.
Right, cool. Well, thanks a lot then.
Bye-bye, Alejandro.
And, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Yasos. Ciao.
Ciao.